Come to order. Messages from the House. February the 4th, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading failed. Mr. President, the bills listed below failed to pass the House third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 176, School District Natural Gas Fueling Facilities. Ayes 27, noes 32, excused 1. And House Bill number 230, School Safety and Security. Ayes 27, noes 32, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. February the 4th, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading passed, Mr. President. The bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 166, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program. Ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1. House Bill number 229, Regulation of Natural Gas as a Transportation Fuel. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill number 243, Felony Burglary. Ayes 59, excused 1. February the 4th, 2013, from the House of Representatives, message, third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 109, Interstate Shipment of State Inspected Meats. Ayes 57, noes 3, noes 2, excused 1. House Bill number 134, Private Roads. Ayes 45, noes 14, excused 1. House Bill number 145, Insurance Coverage of Phenylketonuria. Ayes 47, noes 12, excused 1. House Bill number 205, Motor Vehicle Weight Restrictions Exceptions. Ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. House Bill number 77, Wyoming Lottery. Ayes 31, noes 28, excused 1. House Bill number 99, Campaign Funds Personal Use. Ayes 39, noes 20, excused 1. House Bill number 215, State Investments for a Public Purpose. Ayes 33, noes 26, excused 1. And House Bill 225, Transfer of Ownership of Livestock and Brands. Ayes 59, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. House Bill 243, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 243, Felony Burglary, sponsored by Representative Throne, an act relating to crimes. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 243 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 166, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 166, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program, sponsored by Representative Harshman, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1.
House Bill 166 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 229, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 229, Regulation of Natural Gas as a Transportation Fuel, sponsored by Representative Larson, an act relating to regulation of natural gas. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 229 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Reports from standing committees.
February the 4th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 9, Mineral Business Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 55, Surface Mining Operations Exemptions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Cole, Cooper, Hines, and Rafa, Senator Hines, Chairman. February the 4th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 6, Solid Waste Disposal District Board Terms, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Cole, Cooper, Hines, and Rothfuss, Senator Hines, Chairman. February the 4th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 23, Engrossed Juvenile Parole Eligibility, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 4th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 20, Child Support Guideline Tables, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. February the 4th, 2013, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 14, Crime Victims Compensation and Restitution, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We're at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we return the Senate return itself, resolve itself. Yeah, it'll all be a return. But we'll resolve ourselves back into committee of the whole only to consider Senate file 1. And for those of you that left, I want you to return. Bring your mind with you.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Senator Coe.
Section 21. Committee of the whole, come back to order. We left off and finished section 21. Senator Bebout, we're on section 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources.
Mr. Chairman, before we do, may I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We talked about the tobacco trust fund. I just wanted to share with the senators the number I said of $70 million was reasonably accurate at $71.2 million, and that's as of January 9th of this year, 2013. And, Mr. Chairman, just to further explain that tobacco settlement account, FYI for everybody, amounts to about $30 million of biennial funding in the Department of Health budget and almost $12 million of biennial budget in DFS. And where that revenue comes from, Mr. Chairman, is that we have investment income from the $70 million that I just mentioned of about $8 million a year, and we continue to receive the settlement amount of about $45 million a year. This slides down to 37 as we see it right now through the year 2021 through 2022.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, Senator Bebout, we're back on section 24, Senator Dockstader.
Chairman, I move section 024, State Parks and Cultural Resources. Members of the Senate Joint Appropriations Committee went with the governor's recommendation to cut the agency's budget back to $1.1 million, and that reduction included two people, one full-time, one part-time, and some various operating expenses. Also adopted the recommendation to transfer $184,000 in two positions and move them to ETS as part of that whole statewide IT consolidation. Now, in addition to making the recommendations for the transfer appropriations, adopted a governor's letter request, which designates $20,000 for an arts conference to be hosted in the state. There was a separate recommendation in the same letter calling for $480,000 for the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund. Appropriations cut that back to $250,000. Appropriations went with the governor's letter recommendation for $45,000 for some various farm and shop equipment. Mr. Chairman, that's section 124.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question with regard to the state parks and historical sites. That is one area that I get a lot of contact from constituents on. Just curious what the testimony was in front of appropriations with regard to where those impacts are going to be felt in that area. If you could, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I don't recall specific areas, but remember the cut, $120,000, but I don't remember a specific park being mentioned as that cut going to one specific area.
Mr. Chairman, I believe one of the positions is Fort Phil Kearney up in Senator Schiffer's district. They went from 2-1.
Mike's not on.
How long you been here?
Better? You want me to do that again? Questions on Senator Dockstader's motion that Section 24 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 24 has been adopted. Next section, 27, School Facilities Commission. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 27, School Facilities Commission. Mr. Chairman, in this one here, we adopted the IT transfer for $6,000. We also adopted the governor's rec of $525,000 out of the school capital construction account to fund two positions that were transferred on July 24, 2012 with B11-131-17. Interesting, we've got staff looking into it, is about they transferred the positions, but they didn't transfer the money with it, so I've got to go back in and find out where that money's at. But what we've done here is basically use school capital construction for those two positions that were transferred. Footnote number three here, or item number three, is the $174,605 that was in the Senate file 105. And then also $24,830,000 for projects in Senate file 105. So that's what we did in the school facilities, so I'd stand for any questions.
Discussion on school facilities, section 027. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question. I know that during the GAC hearings, you've had discussions with the School Facilities Commission with respect to what the outlook for the future looks like in constructing new buildings. And what I'm wondering is if this is an appropriate place and time to request from the Facilities Commission that they develop a master plan, if you will, with respect to what requires new construction versus extending the life of buildings. I mean, if the notion is that every year we're going to stack up buildings and you just got to get in line and you're going to get a brand new school whether you need one or not, or are we going to get to the point where we have a more planned analysis of when we replace buildings as opposed to restore them? And I guess my general belief is, and my hope is that we had a backlog of new construction that needed to take place before we went to the statewide funding. We had a discussion this morning on the goldenrod with regard to can we continue to afford to replace buildings at the rate we are, and wonder maybe if the committee has an idea, and maybe folks that are on the select committee on facilities have an idea with whether we ought to just let the system ride or whether we ought to develop an overall plan, direct these folks to come back to the legislature with a plan on replacement versus restoration, and then set a target about with maybe an annual target of what it requires for us to replace our infrastructure regularly instead of simply being a competition to get to the top.
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I can tell you in general, if the building has at least a useful life of 20 years, then they look at major maintenance and trying to move it in that line to get the score up. If it doesn't have a useful life of 20 years, then they start having a discussion about replacement. And so that's kind of the magic number that they put in their discussion. You've also got two emails from me that tells you the projected plan and the schools that are on the list. So if you look back, that was when we were on House Bill or Senate File 105. So, and there are some other handouts that I can forward you that'll give you some of the discussions that we've had. There's another handout that goes through the projected plans as far as the amount of major maintenance and the amount of school capital construction going out. I think it runs it out about 5 or 6 years, Mr. Chairman. So I'll go ahead and get those handouts emailed out to the body so you have those. And certainly would discuss anything else that folks want to talk about considering the school facilities.
Your office first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, from the perspective of school facilities, we have talked a lot about this, but we haven't formalized it. We haven't made the official request. It does seem like it's a good time to do it. What we've been addressing recently was the shift from worrying about condition scores, which we feel like we're getting a good handle on, to capacity requirements, which is sort of the next big thing to tackle. But we've started having conversations in school facilities about looking at total cost of ownership, lifetime of buildings, and trying to speculate further out. Now that we have a concluded capacity study that hopefully is close to accurate, we should be able to begin to predict what the total cost of meeting our capacity needs is going to be in the relatively near term. Then we can do a better job after that of projecting both continued capacity needs after we get through that initial bolus, and then beyond that, considering a realistic view of how long buildings are going to have for their lifetime, what the maintenance versus replacement cost is going to be, and then extrapolating that out to a good future model. So to the good majority floor leader, I would say that it probably is a good time to make that request and really get them to start looking past a 3 to 5 year time frame and plan far further out. Some of the larger districts are already doing that internally, but we don't have a statewide look, to the best of my knowledge, at that beyond what we have currently in the pipeline. So it's a good suggestion. This might well be the time.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would add to that, and I'm trying to recall in the testimony we have, but I think that report, and my colleague from Goshen County referred to it, but the capacity issue, the number I remember is there's about $125 million out there that we think we need to take care of the capacity, primarily the 1600 K-3. And then, Mr. Chairman, the other thing about that is when they projected and profiled the amount of major maintenance money that goes out there relative to the how long the schools would last, there's a formula they've worked on and have reports that show how that phases in to be able to get a better handle. So I think we've started down that path, and we can get that information and get it certainly to the select committee, but to the members of the body to look at.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just good points made on the school facilities front. Our facilities committee my good friend from Laramie is absolutely right. We've got, I think, the pieces in place. What really is an issue now for school facilities is we've got a backlog. We had a little bit of a slowdown, and so we have we've got a lot of buildings to get our arms around in the next 3 to 5 year period of time, and I think it's going to take that to get us past this round of new buildings. And at that point, it's the feeling of the chairman of that committee, I know, that we've probably done a pretty good job of getting through the first round. So I think the timing, I appreciate the majority floor leader bringing that up. I think it is a good time for us to have that conversation. Thanks.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I got that handout here. What they've done is they have a yearly major maintenance. They figure $3.1 billion for a 60-year life. That comes up to $51.5 million per year. You also have component funding. In 13, it's 5.8. In 14, it's 6.7 million. Years 15 through 20, that's 14.5 million. Looking at year 2015, component projects at 29 million. That's extended out in 17 and 19 in the biennium there. Capacity renovations for 15 is 123 million. Capacity renovations for 17 is 85. And 19 is 85. Of course, that'll be for the 2 years. Major maintenance on top of that is 88 million. So in 2015, we're needing a budget for capacity, major maintenance components of 240 million. 2017, 202 million. And 2019, 202 million. So they projected out 60 years on the major maintenance by using a 60-year life factor. And concerning that, that would be $3.1 billion. The balance forward on major deferred maintenance beginning in 2015, that's $427.1 million, and that number is extended out each and every year as it rolls out. So to date, that's what the department has done in determining and making some assumptions. Indeed, we may need a more detailed look at it, but that's what the department has done to date.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Meyer's motion that Section 027 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 207 passed. Section 029, Wyoming Water Development Office. Senator Bebel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 029, Wyoming Water Development Office. Mr. Chairman, what the budget did is this is where we had set up the $30 million in general fund money for the Gillette Madison project, and we talked earlier about the AML funds where we've now taken the AML funds, parked them in that budget, and that AML funds will be utilized to spend the $30 million. So what this does, Mr. Chairman, it deletes the $30 million from the general fund for the Gillette Madison because it's coming from another direction. And other than that, there were no other changes. As for the question.
Discussion? Questions on Senator Bebout's motion on Section 029. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 029 has been adopted. Next section, 032, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another one of the quasi-agencies that we have, and we had a budget reduction of 4%, which made up for 8% for the 2 years of $67,566. I would stand for any questions.
Senator, did you move that
section? I would move Section 032, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? The question's on Senator Bebout's motion on Section 032. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 032 has been adopted. Next section, 037, State Engineer. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 037, State Engineer's Office. Mr. Chairman, what we did there, there was a reduction that consisted of two positions. Both were vacant. And then the rest of the reductions, if you look at the sheets, it was primarily operating expenses, contract services, throughout the Board of Division, Surface Water and Engineering, Groundwater Division, Support Services, and Interstate Streams. I'll be glad to answer questions. Otherwise, I'll call for the question.
Any discussion? The question's on Senator Bebout's motion on Section 037. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 037 has been adopted. The next section, Section 039, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 039, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. The Joint Appropriations Committee has agreed to the Governor's recommendation of an agency budget cut, $27,361. This is for basic operating expenses and contract services, such as utilities, equipment, rental space, and so forth. The Governor's recommendation to transfer $864 to the ETS as part of that whole statewide IT consolidation was also accepted. And finally, the JAC also did not pass on the Governor's recommendation to put another $5 million into the trust fund corpus. And then the final footnote there, making it for the formality, to allowing the state auditor to make the deposit from 2012. Any questions? Ask for the questions. Otherwise, call for the question.
Is there any discussion? The motion by Senator Dockstader is on Section 039. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Section 039 has been adopted. Next, Section 040, Game and Fish Commission. Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 040, Game and Fish Commission. Joint Appropriations Committee has adopted the Governor's recommendation to reduce the agency's budget by $174,714. This reduction includes the one contract position, operating expenses, grants, and contract services. Mr. Chairman, I stand for any questions or call for the question.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could we have some discussion about what the commission did on their side of the budget for the non-state budget, whether there were reductions or any type of staff reductions at all?
Senator Bebop.
Mr. Chairman, they did present to us more of a review of their budget items, and as I recall, they had not come with any reductions in terms of their, which is outside of our budget authority, of course, in terms of their general operating budget. There were no reductions in that. They did present to us, and we can share with the members of the Senate their revenue stream and all their Pittman funds and all of the different funds that flows through their budget and their FTE situation. And as I recall, their budget outside of what we have authority over is about $65 million a year.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, there's a reduction here shown of about $103,000 in the sagegrass protection area. Could we have a little discussion on exactly what that's all about and what consequences that will have?
Further discussion, Senator Dockstader?
That was part of a previously planned to reduce that program that was already in the works.
Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, on and against the budget section. We need a better explanation than that. We've appropriated $1.7 million. Now we're taking $100,000 out of it. That's a critical area for many of our natural resources dealing with those sage grouse. And I think, Mr. Chairman, we need a explanation, a little bit of how much is coming out of that particular program and why.
Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to get a better explanation and get it by tomorrow or by the end of the day.
Yep. Further discussion? Questions on Senator Dockstader's motion to adopt Section 040. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay.
No.
Section 040 has been adopted.
I was going to call for division, but I thought I won't do it.
Next session for our consideration, Section 041, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety. Senator Hasker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 041, Fire Prevention and Electrical Safety. And JAC adopted the governor's rec to reduce the agency's budget by $291,838 in general fund. And the reduction consists of two positions there. And then the second footnote is about the IT consolidation. And that's all of fire prevention, electrical safety.
Discussion? Questions on Senator Astor's motion that Section 041 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. That's been adopted. Section 042, Geological Survey. Nobody wants this baby? Senator Bebaum.
We had a little misunderstanding on our cheat sheet here. The other cheat sheet. Are you ready, my colleague from Sweetwater County? Mr. Chairman, I move Section 042, Geological Survey, and the reduction in that program consisted of two positions that were vacant, and that reduction was $220,887 general fund money. And we also adopted the governor's direct to transfer two positions to the ETS as a result of the statewide IT consolidation.
Further discussion? There being no further discussion, the question is on Senator Bebaum's motion to adopt Section 40-042. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Section 042 has been adopted. Section 044, Insurance Department. Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 044, Insurance Department. Governor's recommendation to reduce the agency's budget by $240,000 was accepted by the GAC. This includes the health insurance pool expenses. Also adopted the governor's request to move approximately $6,000 over to cover the IT expenses as part of that statewide consolidation. And a governor's letter recommendation directing $100,000 to the Department of Health for the study of insurance exchanges was accepted by the GAC. Call for any questions. If not, call for the question.
Is there any discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, here we're getting into one of the really important areas in this budget as we start looking forward to the problems that the national health reform is going to give our state. Mr. Chairman, there are two very real needs in the insurance department as I see it. One is that they're going to have a flood of work because due to all the mandates that are in Obamacare and all the requirements there that starting in October of this year, you're going to have policies available for sale in the exchange, and all those policy forms have to go through our state approval office because that's the way insurance works in this state and probably every other state too. The state insurance department approves the policy forms so that the contracts aren't crooked, basically, and that does require some special looking at. And then you've got a set of problems that the federal government is pumping out regulations at a fast and furious pace on how the insurance market's going to be governed, what are the regulations for it. It's way beyond the exchanges, and somebody in the state government needs to look at what we're doing in what the feds are doing to us and comment on some of those regulations and tell them where they're doing things that are just impossible for Wyoming, because I think you're going to see a bias on things that work for heavy, large population states and don't work here. And the feds may not listen, but then we'll have somebody, when we get a mess, we'll have somebody that knows what caused it, Mr. Chairman, and can help us do something about it. And right now the insurance commissioner has got himself and the deputy commissioner and maybe their attorney part of the time, and that's about it. And the volume is pretty overwhelming. And, Mr. Chairman, I see an addition of $100,000 here to help, and I'm wondering which of the problems is that going to help with and how is it going to do it. And I'm also wondering, Mr. Chairman, why that is general funds as opposed to part of their special revenue funds, because these are functions that will really be quite a help to our private insurance market, and I would think ought to be funded the same way as the rest of the department. So, Mr. Chairman, I would appreciate a bit of a discussion on those two items.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On to the last item, talking about the $100,000, that was a request from the governor, and that deals with the exchange part of what your discussion is, not necessarily the ACA rules and regs that came out that may have other long-term lasting effects. If you look at the rest of the supplemental budget bill, we have a Section 300 series that the chairman of Labor and I talked about that gets into taking care of that next component, which is very, very important. What it does not do is include any funding for that component, and I think that we need to have some discussion and possibly a second or third reading amendment that talks about using some of that special revenue fund to fund that requirement we're placing on them to monitor ACA as far as the rules go. As to why the $100,000 general fund instead of the special revenue fund, we thought since it was coming from the governor's office, a request to be handled by them, that we would allow the general fund to move forward. But it sure could be something we could talk about to change that, and I guess I'll have to give that some thought.
Any further discussion? Questions on Senator Dockstader's motion that Section 044 be adopted? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Section 044 has been adopted. Next section for our consideration, 045, Department of Transportation. Senator Dockstader.
Chairman, I move Section 045, Department of Transportation. Governor's recommendation to reduce the department's budget by $2,063,114 was accepted. $2.1 million will be transferred from the commission side to the legislative appropriated side of the budget. And that'll be transferred for IT services, again, part of that whole statewide consolidation. Got to go through that with most of our budget. The JAC reduced the governor's recommendation by of $1.5 million by $530,000, leaving $1 million for a Wyoming software upgrade. Finally, the committee reduced $240,000, the general fund for the Air Service Enhancement Assistance Grants. Stand for questions or call for the question.
Senator Von Fleeden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is on that Air Service Enhancement. What was the conversation involved? Was they're already running out of funds, and they have a lot more requests for assistance from other communities versus the money they have today. So was there any reasoning as to why they cut that much out of there?
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to recall the conversation. I don't recall the conversation being that they needed that specific funding. We didn't hear that feedback from the communities that they needed that. Certainly welcome to some consideration that on another reading.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Dockstader's motion to Section 045. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Same question. What was the discussion with respect to the commission side of the budget, any reductions made? And here again, was there discussion about adding a footnote asking for an investigation into value engineering, other cost reductions, reduction in staff for the commission side of the budget?
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did receive a value engineering report that YDOT had hired someone to conduct, and I can't remember all the results, but essentially the bottom line, and members of the committee, correct me if I'm wrong, is that they felt they were getting the best bang for their buck relative to the money they were spending, which is no surprise to any of us in here. And that's an editorial comment. As to their spending levels, you know, we really didn't have the same kind of revenues and information presented to us that I thought from the Game and Fish. You know, there's a bill obviously circulating that will review that, and I saw the FTE numbers for the YDOT, and they've gone up, but not as much as you would think they have, and we could sure provide that information to the members of the Senate.
Questions on Senator Dockstader's motion that Section 045 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Section 045 has been adopted. Next section for our consideration, Section 048A, Department of Health. Senator Perkins.
Move Section 048A, Department of Health. Just as a reminder to the members of the Senate, if you remember last year in the general budget, we divided the Department of Health into 48A and 48B as two departments. 48A deals with the Department of Health and our expenditures for fiscal year 13, 48B for 2014. So Wrapping up on 48A, Mr. Chairman, there's only a couple things we're doing here. One is, first thing we're doing is authorizing any unexpended funds at the end of this fiscal year of 2013. Our unexpended and unobligated funds remaining are able to roll over to 2014 and will be part of the 48B budget. In addition to that, there's a report coming that wanted a report coming to Mont, so we know exactly what those funds are and where they came from and how they get applied. The other thing on footnote two is we adopted the governor's rec to reduce $3 million, which is half general fund and half federal funds for waiting lists, and to remove footnote 14. That was the expansion of $1.5 million to expand the waiver program. The reason that is the Department of Health is working on reinstituting and reorganizing the waiver program for DDs and acquired brain injuries. They think that they can make tailored waivers and stretch the money further. And so right now, the purpose of that is they want to embargo that $1.5 million until they have their new program and their new program in place so that they can, with the waiver program, and that's what that is. And you'll see where we pick up the other part of that in the next department. So that's it for this part. We'll have more discussion on 48B in a moment, but if there's a call for any questions, and if there are no questions, I'll call for the question on 48A.
Is there any discussion? The question's on Senator Perkins' motion to adopt Section 048A. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 048A has been adopted. Section 048B, Department of Health.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd move Section 48B, Department of Health, for 2014. With respect to this, this one is a little bit different as opposed to the cross-board cuts that we did in the Department of Health. Remember, we split this into two sections, and so with some fairly specific directives to the Department of Health. What we've done is we move forward in the Department of Health for 2014. What you'll see is in JAC1, you'll see that we're reducing funding positions for 38 full-time and two part-time and one AWAC position. What those are is those have already been absorbed in 48A, and so we're removing them here. Otherwise, if there is no money associated with those cuts have already been absorbed, but we're just simply removing the positions here, and there were no funds allocated for those in 2014, so there's no actual reduction of the budget, but there are substantial reductions in the number of positions. And the other thing we've done there is we've adopted the governor's recommendation to transfer $1,814,000 in change and 26 positions as a result of the ETS consolidation. We've also adopted the governor's rec of $3 million, which is $300,000 of general fund and $2.7 million of federal funds for a Medicaid management information system upgrade. What that's about is we've moved the Medicaid eligibility analysis and from DFS to the Department of Health with respect to Medicaid eligibility. Along with that, you used to go, and Mr. Chairman, used to do your Medicaid eligibility to actually apply to the Department of Family Services, who would then determine whether you're Medicaid eligible. That function is being transferred over to the Department of Health. This software is an updated software. The software that was used before is quite antiquated, so the representations to the committee has been that it will better help in figuring out who's qualified, and also it will help reduce the ineligible, those who would be eligible who might otherwise qualify, and also help supposedly increase our FMAPs from better management. In addition, the next item we have there on four is we adopt the governor's recommendation of $14,300,000, which you can see the split there of $6.6 million of general fund and $7.6 million of federal funds, and that's the mandatory expansion under the Affordable Care Act. This is what the woodwork or the mandatory expansion requirement, that's the cost of that. I think we talked about that considerably last week, but this is the part that we were absorbing under the mandatory provisions of the ACA. Next thing was that the governor had come out with a recommendation for $250,000 of general fund for medical homes, and so that was reduced by $200,000, making the total of $50,000 of general fund available for medical homes. I believe that the idea behind that was to slow that down, to allow it to go forward, to have some reports back before we move into that full bore. Next item was we adopted the governor's rec to reduce $2.4 million of general fund for vaccines. What that is it continues to restrict the number. The two things that are happening there is restricting, one, the full gamut of vaccines. There are some that have been asked to cover that will not be covered. The other one, and one of the big parts is also, as I understand it, is that part of the reduction is also to require kids who are covered under insurance, whether it be KidCare or other private carriers, Mr. Chairman, those funds will pay for that, and that won't be just a general fund allocation, but they'll pay for it from other funds from other insurers. And next item on foot number seven there's some anticipated revenue increases from special revenue funds, just recognizing that. We're also looking at, there's a in footnote 8 under your cheat sheet, we're just correcting an error there, a technical correction on some funding allocations that was in the old budget bill. We also came back, the JAC denied the governor's recommendation of a little over $1 million for developmental preschools. What that was the initial presentation was based upon proposed numbers. When the actual numbers came in, they were less, and so this reflects actual numbers as opposed to proposed numbers. Number 10, the JAC added $77,000 for reimbursement of accreditation expenses for various people out there to continue to assist with that, believing that that benefits the system as a whole. Resolving some technical corrections, archaic language in old footnote number 8. Number 12, we talked about this before at the AG's office, where we're transferring two full-time positions from the Attorney General's office on pursuit of the estate recovery. Those funds will be paid for out of as a contract with the AG's office from the Department of Health. And my understanding is that arrangement allows us to continue to maintain our federal match for those expenses. Getting down to the end here, on 13, what you see there is the reimbursement. We added footnote number 16, specifying reimbursement to providers shall be paid proportionate to funds available. All we have there is there's a potential based upon on the allocation that we potentially could run short of funds in some of this area. What we're doing here is allowing the Department of Health to make proportional reductions to the reimbursement rates to make sure that happens. In some respects, I guess you could consider that permitting the department to go out and reduce those rates among providers to make sure that we can make it to the end of the biennium with what we've got allocated there. And then finally, we've adopted the governor's rec of $200,000 additional dollars of general fund for the Aging and Disability Resource Centers, and added footnotes 17, making those funds effective or available immediately. The purpose of that was, I think that the vocabulary word for this section, Mr. Chairman, has been offsets. And the offsets that were represented with this is this $200,000, because it's so effective, is that it can potentially have savings of $2 million represented to us from more effective use of seniors in the programs they have, better health, and also making sure that they're qualified for the various federal programs that they're qualified for. So that's what we did with the Department of Health, and I'll stand for questions. If none, then I'm expecting some, just in case. If there's none, we'll call for the question.
Senator Netting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a concern.
You aren't Senator Netting, are you?
I
just heard
the
end. Senator Netting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do, after all, look a lot alike. Could I just ask for a little more description of what vaccines will not be covered? Yeah.
Okay. Did the members of the committee hear that question?
Yes.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, this is time to pile on them.
Pile on, okay. And I have a question on footnote 10. When that money rolls over from budget A to budget B, is it in the same spending series? Does it stay in that spending series, or does the Department of Health have the ability to put it wherever they want it? What's the deal on that?
Discussion? Senator Nicholas, now you...
Yep, it's time to pile on.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask about the wisdom of actually referring to the Chris S. lawsuit in footnote number 8. I think that's I'm not sure if that decision is actually
while I understand it has impacts going forward and the potential for refiling, but to actually put it into a footnote in the budget, I wonder, I'd like to ask more about the wisdom of doing that.
Does anybody else want to pile on? Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you give me just a minute. I was just looking at, I was just reviewing footnote number 8 again, dealing with the last question first. And we'll get that information report back, whether it's wise to do that or not. As I understand it, that was fairly specific from staff, but I'll get with staff and we can sure visit about that. And if there's if it's unwise, then certainly, Mr. Chairman, we don't want to do it. So we'll get back and provide more information on that either today or tomorrow before we get into in time to amend that in second reading if we need to. The other questions with respect to the vaccines is I don't know which specific vaccines are those are. There was some discussion about that, but ultimately those vaccines, my recollection was the Department of Health wanted to cover all vaccines necessary to get into school. A number of those vaccines are covered under the SCHIP program or the KidCare program as well as private. And so the Department of Health and the decision was that those kids who are covered and have those things paid for elsewhere should have them paid for elsewhere rather than the blanket program with respect to the vaccines. And so that we can find out more information on that. With respect to the unallocated funds, my recollection was that we had given the Department of Health broad flex powers with respect to managing their budget between last year and the coming year, and my recollection is they have broad flex authority, so I don't think that necessarily is money that rolls over. It has to necessarily be expended in those same categories where it was saved. But I will verify that and get back to the body on that. And maybe I may be standing corrected here as I see my chairman standing up.
Senator Bebout.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to speak to the question about the transfer of 100 series, and it's in our previous budget bill that we had, Section 311. It says personnel services transfer, and I'm maybe this is what my colleague from KC was getting to. Notwithstanding any of the provision of this act, non-federal funds appropriated for 100 series personnel services contained in this act shall not be transferred to any other services or expended for any purpose other than personnel services. The Department of Health is exempted from this section. The Department of Health shall report quarterly to the Joint Appropriations Committee and the Joint Labor Committee regarding the Department's exercise of authority under subsection A of this section and shall include in the report specific uses and dollar amounts for each exception. I think that's what my colleague was concerned about, and I hope that answered this question.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I have quite a number of questions in this area. With regard to the vaccines, the way the Department of Health purchases vaccines is significantly cheaper than the way they're available through other sources. And I really wonder if we aren't seeing a net expense, increase in expense, first in governmental programs by switching vaccines from our general program to Medicaid and SCHIP. Maybe we're capturing a few more federal dollars, but I suspect strongly we're increasing the total governmental expenditure and may even be increasing our general fund expenditures because of the way those vaccines can be purchased so much more cheaply through the contract that we've got with CDC. And then, Mr. Chairman, when you start switching to private, their costs are a good deal higher, not to mention the administrative costs of going through a private insurance. And I think we're asking to increase the total expenditures that our citizens have by quite a bit by going this way. So I'm pretty disturbed about what's actually going on here, and I think we need a much better explanation. And, Mr. Chairman, I want to hear more about this proposed eligibility transfer. Ms. Chairman, it is for all the welfare programs through the Department of Family Services, so that you had a one-stop shop, so that you could gather the information once, you didn't have to repeat it. And here I hear an explanation of budget. Oh, we're just going to switch that to health department. Ms. Chairman, I don't know whether the current arrangements are statutory or not. I think they may be, although I don't know the statute right offhand. It seems to me that that's a major change in function, will introduce considerable inefficiency into our state government. And I really wonder if doing it sort of backhand in the budget is a good idea. I think it ought to come through as a governmental reorganization, a statutory change, to switch that eligibility function from Family Services to Health Department, so that we can think out, Mr. Chairman, carefully what we're actually doing. And I tell you, the question I've got in that area is, what harm do we do if we put in a footnote forbidding that and saying the eligibility determination will remain with the Department of Family Services, and seeing if then we ought to bring forth a bill where we can really have a look at the pros and cons of that, because I think we may be making our government significantly more efficient and significantly harder for people to deal with. And I don't know, is the health department planning on having personnel in all the family services field offices to deal with these individual clients? How are they planning to work that? I know the MI, their eligibility system needs a computer redo. It's horribly out of date, and there's federal money available, and it would be irrational not to take advantage of that. But why that should change around the organizational arrangements, Mr. Chairman, I'm not clear, and I think it's something that ought to come as a separate subject to the full Senate. So I've got some real questions in that area, and would like a better explanation of what's going on, because to my knowledge, it's not been a subject that has been debated by the full Senate before, this particular change. Ms. Chairman, I've got a further question in the public health area. Frankly, Mr. Chairman, we have a mess in our public health nursing area. We've got a situation in the state where there are public health nurses that are state employees. We've got a situation where some of the employees are employees of county health organizations, some of the public health nurses. They're supervised. Well, the state's unclear how they're supervised. Differences in the personnel systems continue here, difficulties. We've had one county that has refused to participate in the state system at all, and two more that have said the mess was so bad that they ought to withdraw, and they did withdraw and turn down the state money because it was making it impossible for them to run an effective program. And I wonder, was there any test? Every time we try to correct it, we run into, oh, you're taking away some state employees' rights, and there's all kinds of opposition to it. And Mr. Chairman, they're not doing their job in terms of some of the major programs there, and I'm thinking of the home visitation program that this legislature enacted 12 years ago now, I think, that has never been effectively implemented. And I really wonder if that isn't an area where we need to take a hard look at what's going on, because Labor Committee has tried several times to fix it, and we always run into obstacles out of the state personnel involved. Mr. Chairman, so I wonder, was there any discussion of the problems with the public health nurses in the committee's discussion?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things. Going back, and first of all, let me go back and correct. With respect to the vaccines, actually what we did is because we're running short of there, we actually adopted the governor's rec to add $2.4 million to vaccines, although there are four vaccines that are being eliminated from the list. And also, the instruction was in the supplemental rec, or one of the instructions is this is not to come into the biennium. And so we're looking at shifting the vaccines backwards. So that may or may not be decided yet, but I misspoke. And so, in fact, if you look at the budget recs, you'll see that the net under public health actually increased by a little over $2 million. Most of that is this 2.4, and then net up some reductions it had there. So I think I'll find out the four vaccines that I think there's four vaccines that they're talking about to reducing the administration of. I'll report back to the good senator or anybody else who's interested on those four vaccines. With respect to the public health issues and the administration, all I can tell you, the testimony that I remember was that the Department of Health and Department of Family Services have gotten together, and they felt that this would somehow enhance their ability to deliver those goods. I think the main takeaway that I got from the discussion about that, Mr. Chairman, was simply that since the public health financing comes through the Department of Health, they thought that they should be the gatekeepers, and the Department of Family Services, as I understand it, agreed with that they should be the gatekeepers with respect to Medicaid eligibility. So I see the good chairman of health shaking his head, but nevertheless, that's the discussion that I remember from what we had. And so we can find out more about that. We can certainly have vent notes and debate that, but that's the discussion and that's the rationale that we heard. I can see if I can find out more details for you later. With respect to public nurses, I do not remember discussion in our supplemental budget hearings with respect to the public nursing situation, which I think many of us understand that there's I'll just adopt the chairman's words on that one. Problem.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, since this is committee of the whole and any further debate be under the second reading rules, Mr. Chairman, on the eligibility, we're talking about a fundamental change in how we do our state government, I think. I don't think it's just some kind of we're going to fund it here and then there'll be memorandums of understanding and we'll retain our current function. Our current way of doing it is the eligibility is with the Department of Family Services, done through their field offices. It gives a one-stop shop for people that come in applying for welfare benefits. It's part of it. And I'm afraid we are in the process of doing away with that, which is an efficient way to do things. I know the Department of Health has been wanting to do it for some time, but frankly, I think it's a big decision and one that ought to be made as our normal reorganization processes are, Mr. Chairman, through a statute and not as an old they agreed amongst themselves. Because I think what you're going to see is, and I'm wondering, is the health department in the process of going to build a big field staff to do these eligibilities? There'll be some eligibility through the federal exchange. If the federal exchange works, there'll be some that come in that way electronically. But I suspect most people will continue to want to go to their local offices. And I think we need a much better, much more thorough explanation and ability to debate this up and down. And I think this doing it in the back door under the radar screen is unfortunate, Mr. Chairman. And I really wonder if we wouldn't be much better off putting in a footnote saying where the eligibilities will be And then we'll get maybe legislation to have it done in a proper way, if it's a good idea, Mr. Chairman. And frankly, I'm not sure whether it is or it isn't, but I have some real reservations, which may stem simply because I don't understand how they're planning to work the system. They've never come to us and explained it in any way.
Better to be that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm trying to understand and explain what I think happened, and maybe my colleague can jump back in, because he certainly knows more about it than I do. But as I understand, for the eligibility piece, DFS had done Medicaid. And last year we said, okay, health, DOH, you're going to start doing that. And that was my understanding. We did that last year. And then now we have a system we have, since we said we wanted to transition that we needed to put the system in place to do it. As far as the vaccines, the vaccination side of it, DFS has never determined the eligibility for the vaccination side. That's always been another way through the Department of Health, not DFS. So I don't know if I've add to the confusion, but that's my understanding of what happened.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, the vaccine side, that's entirely, they do that through the public health offices and the local public health offices. That's not an issue here. The issue is the Medicaid eligibility. And maybe the Appropriations Committee had some discussions last year, but I sure don't remember them out here. And given all that happened to me last year, I might not remember things. But I don't think the full legislature has ever really had a discussion of this reorganization. And we have a system for doing major reorganizations about that. And Mr. Chairman, I have some real reservations about the change. I think we need to understand, are we building a field network for the Department of Health? How's it going to work? When somebody comes into their local DFS office and wants to get on Medicaid, what are we going to do? We're going to say, no, you have to go to the Department of Health in Cheyenne? How's it going to be handled? And to my knowledge, we've never had that discussion out here on the floor. And, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to. I know they've been building this new eligibility system, and unless they've really mismanaged it, it ought to be flexible enough so that we determine who will actually do the eligibilities, because I think there's some real advantages to the current system, and I'm afraid we're in the process of buying something, Mr. Chairman, that is going to be a good deal more expensive in this administration area and is going to be a good deal less effective.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Perkins' motion at Section 48B do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Section 48B has been adopted. Next section for our consideration, Section 49, Department of Family Services. Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 49, Department of Family Services. Members of the Senate, here are the reductions for DFS. The committee agreed to the governor's recommendations to reduce the agency's budget by $6,193,812. Now, this includes 22 positions, of which 18 considered full-time, 3 are part-time, and there's 1 contract position. And I might note in conversations with DFS, so one of those was the deputy director, and they found that a note here I have in my notes that by eliminating 22 positions, they found much better communications throughout the department. JAC also agreed with the governor's recommendation to transfer $1,405,983 in the general fund and 24 positions to enterprise technology, and then move $98,000 of the federal funds to take care of recovering the cost of those IT services as a result of that whole consolidation program. And then $30,000 was added for the Father Factor program. Members of the Senate, this was like an add-on. We got a majority vote, and so it was an add-on, and a footnote was taken care of for that program. And then the JAC also added $1,224 in the general fund to make a correction in that ETS transfer of funding. It was a correction, as I understand it, recall from my notes. So, members of the Senate, stand for questions and call for the question.
Section 049, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to ask the committee members, Budget footnote number three. This has started to become a familiar friend to our good appropriations committee, but how that particular program, how it relates to our Constitution, Section 36, prohibiting appropriations to charitable organizations. Did that discussion come up in your committee at all?
Further discussion? Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, the Constitution was not referenced. It was an add-on vote, and it was a majority, and so it was added on with footnote.
Further discussion? The question's on Senator Dockstader's motion. That Senator Case.
Yeah, I was eating pie, Mr. Chairman, so I couldn't get up fast enough. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was good pie. It was from lunch. The way we get around that in this instance is this is in the Department of Family Services, and it's a contractual relationship, and it relates to the necessary support of the poor. I think we stretch it in all of these instances, and we frequently stretch this constitutional meaning by doing it by contract for services when the Constitution clearly says you can't give it directly. And I would, but that's how they justify it, and we've been doing it for a while. That doesn't make it right, and I don't agree with it.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, these are TANF funds or federal funds, too. They're not state dollars.
Senator Peterson.
Well, just a quick rebuttal, Mr. Chairman. You know, these might be federal funds, but they are grants given to the state of Wyoming. We distribute those. They become state funds.
Further discussion. Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the committee. On my paper file and even on the computer, it shows the number three being struck on Department of Family Services. Is that correct on others' copies? Little three, little footnote three struck. Would that mean that it should be struck out of the next page where there's a number three footnote, which is, has to do with residential treatment facilities? I'm just confused as to what leads to what here.
Is there an answer to that question? Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to track it, what he's saying, but let me get back with staff, Mr. Chairman. We'll get that answer for him by second reading.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Dockstader's motion in Section 049 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Section 049 has been adopted. Section 051, Livestock Board. Is there any livestock out there who want to try this one? Senator Peefow, livestock expert.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 051, Livestock Board. And, Mr. Chairman, what your Appropriations Committee did is we adopted the Governor's rec to reduce the agency budget by $359,196, of which $322,000, that was general fund, and $36,000 with other funds. This reduction consisted of two AWAC positions. They were open positions, board, I'm sorry, they were not open positions, but they were AWAC positions, board salary, travel, and contract services. And then, Mr. Chairman, we also adopted the Governor's rec to transfer $7,200 general fund to ETS and move $6,912 of other funds to the object code 03101 for cost recover of IT services as a result of the statewide IT consolidation. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll yield to my colleague from Goshen County in case there are any questions.
Okay, we're on 51.
Senator
okay.
Hines.
Thank
Senator
you.
Hines first.
Mr. Chairman, my question was on the reduction of the two AWACs. Were they veterinarians that works in the brucellosis program?
Now, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize to the body. I was called outside on the other side of the bar. I'd rather be on this side of the bar or the bar later on today. Mr. Chairman, those were two brand inspectors that were vacant positions, and so they just decided that they didn't need them, they could handle it, and so they cut them.
Further discussion? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, where are those brand inspectors?
Casey.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I asked Mr. Chairman at the sale barn in Torrington, and they said no, so I was satisfied, Mr. Chairman. But, no, they've been vacant for quite some time. So there shouldn't be any change in the way we get our cattle inspected across the state, because I was concerned about that, but particularly concerned that they didn't come out of the good sale barn at Torrington, so the good senator from KC can get on the road on that Friday night after he gets his cattle sold.
Further discussion, Mr. Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, could we have a breakdown? And I would like to know the geography, where those two positions are. But also, could we have a breakdown of where the geographic area where all the brand inspectors are, including the full-time, the supervisors, and the part-time police?
Senator Meyer?
Mr. Chairman, I'll get a hold of the Livestock Board. We'll have them get the map for us, and I'll get it to the good friend, my good friend from KC, and the rest of the members of the Senate.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senator Meyer, while we're gathering that up, we could get the breakout of the budget of the livestock theft division or criminal part of it, a number of people, where they're at, and the costs. I would appreciate it very much.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman,
they don't want you to know where those people are, but I'll get them, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Vebout's motion, Section 051, Livestock Board do pass. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 051 has been adopted. Section 053, Department of Workforce Services. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 053, Department of Workforce Services. And in this section here, we have 47,800 and 13, the governor's direct to reduce the agency's budget. We adopted that with some modifications. The reduction consists of some operating expenses, and then on the cheat sheet number two there is all deals with the IT consolidation. And then, Mr. Chairman, the governor had denied the agency's requests requested budget reductions, and but JAC decided to pick them back up, so that's what you'll see on line three there. So that 897,000, in workforce training, quality child care, and employment training, those are all areas that the agency identified as places where they could cut on their budget. Governor denied those, but JAC adopted them. That's their budget.
Questions? Questions on Senator Hastert's motion that Section 053 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 053 has been adopted. Section 055, Oil and Gas Commission. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 055, Oil and Gas Commission. Members of the Senate, this is, of course, a special revenue fund generated by the conservation tax charged on oil and gas production. The only thing that they did was to adopt the governor's rec to move two positions to the ETS, 170,000 other funds to object code 0410 for cost recovery of IT services. Call for the question.
Discussion? The motion's on Senator Bebout's motion, Section 055. Do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 055 has been adopted. Section 057, Community College Commission. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 057, Community College Commissions. Mr. Chairman, the governor's rec is to reduce that budget by $7,707,000. JAC adopted that with some modifications, and the reduction consists of operating expenses, state aid, and contract services. There's also $62,000 in the ETS IT consolidation. The JAC denied the governor's budget reduction of $1,532,962 in general funds for health insurance reimbursement, making the total reduction zero. A little discussion on that, Mr. Chairman. Basically, the Community College Commission and the colleges operate differently than other state agencies as to health insurance. That discussion kind of centers around how each college funds their staff individually. Most agencies can pool that all together in the state. They can pool it all together at UW. But community colleges, each one of them stand by themselves. So if you have a increase in staffing in one college, which causes an increase of premium needs in that college, that can't be flowed over to the other colleges within that area. And also, you can't draw from the pool because you're segregated. So even though the pool's there, you're not able to take advantage of the pool that's in the state auditor's office if your staffing needs are increasing. So because of that inflexibility and because the governor didn't give an increase in the enrollment and we had a 6% reduction rather than an 8%, we felt that it was going to be too tight for these community colleges that are growing with more staffing requirements to be able to work within their college budgets to provide for the health care insurance premiums. So we added that back in. And so I hope everybody understands the need for that, but that was the reason why we added that $1.5 million back in, Mr. Chairman. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for questions.
Discussion on Section 057. The question's on Senator Meyer's motion that Section 057 pass Committee of the Whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 057 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration, Section 060, State Lands and Investments.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 060, State Lands and Investments. Mr. Chairman, we start with a agency reduction here in general funds of $755,000 and $1.744 million in federal funds, and this reduction consists of two positions. Those are two vacant positions, operating expenses, grant payments, and contract services. It goes on to reduce another $658,000 for a general fund and $366 in federal for the ETS and the technology switchover. In Governor's Letter Number 2, we put $11.2 million in to replenish the fire funding, and that was to pay some of the old bills, which was around $8 million, and to leave $3.2 million in that fund. We used general funds rather than the LSRA, as the governor suggested. And we also said that those funds will not be included in the standard 15-16 budget. We did adopt the governor's recommendation of another $20 million to go into the fire suppression account, but modified that request to say that it was from general funds and not from the LSRA. Now, the governor in his letter also requested an additional $28 million, $28.8 million to be placed in the state auditor's office. We did not follow through on that request on the governor's letter, but the fire funds are in better shape than they were last year going into the season, and felt that the governor could find enough money to essentially fight the fires from last year, that being in better shape this year, if it is a bad fire season, he should still have that same flexibility. We did adopt $20 million of general funds for local governments, and that's to be found in Section 323, which the good senator from Fremont County will go through in more detail at that time when we get to our Section 300s. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Discussion on Section 060s. Senator Anderson, 02.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. In regard to footnote 5, in regard to the amount of monies that $2,500,000 from the fire suppression account may be spent for pine beetle mitigation. Is my assumption correct that then the state lands could give that to maybe corrections to be used through their work camp folks? It might be given to the state forester, wherever they feel it might be best applied in the event that 2.5 is available. What's the actual outcome if that were to be used?
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for the body for skipping over that. I just missed it there. Yeah, that money, if we still have something left over in the firefighting accounts, can be used. And speaking with our fellow senator from the Northeast there, that they don't get into the mitigation for a pine bark beetle usually until the spring, so they find out exactly which trees are infested. They mark them, and they go out and they cut those trees out of the forest. And primarily, I think, would be used in the efforts that we've had up in the Northeast, where we're trying to get ahead of the pine bark beetle. So that was the discussion that we had centered around that. And so it would more likely than not be used in the same manner as the last pine bark beetle mitigation efforts that we had.
Senator Anderson, 02.
That's my question. Is more in the nature of not how they would be used, but who would utilize them. Who would have oversight over those monies in the event that they were utilized? Would it be the state forester? Might it be the corrections through their boot camp? Who has oversight in regard to the use of those monies?
Go ahead. Senator Driscoll?
Mr. Chairman, these funds are a follow-up on a couple $1 million that we've already spent in the Black Hills. This is going to continue to fall. The last funds were spent one half through the Wildlife Natural Resources Trust Fund, one half through state forestry. These kind of gone through natural resource conservation districts have spent part of them. Weed and pests have spent parts through Crook and Weston. We likely are going to be talking about how we can try to make these permanent. We've got a big down payment on this program done. And the fire deal leaves us where we can be iffy. We're going to work on you guys coming up on that, on how we make sure that this down payment we've made continues to work for us and keep sawmill in business. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Nutting.
Mr. Chairman, just out of a curiosity, and this is not the only one, there are many others that this applied to, where there have been vacancies that have been vacant for some time, and the agencies eliminated that position. Did that make it look on the books like as if they had gotten the 8% deductions when, in fact, they were just taking money out of their budget that had not been expended anyway?
Good question. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's a very pertinent question from the standpoint of what we call reoccurring and non-reoccurring expenditures, and we'll have a report for that for the whole budget, where staff has identified cuts that will be in the next biennium, and it won't have to be the agency won't have to look at them as recurring or non-reoccurring expenditures, because a lot of them, They cut things out and they can't cut them out again. And these are positions that, will continue to offer a savings, although they are in that category from the standpoint that those savings were there anyway. So we're letting them count them this year, but as we go forward, you'll see that they'll continue to give a savings because they're not there to go back in and backfill through the reversions. So, yeah, I think it's a very important question. We'll answer the non-reoccurring and reoccurring expenditures, I think, in detail in the report that we have, and I'd refer to the good senator from Fremont County to elaborate.
Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I would add to that, for those agencies that did that and were not able to biennialize, if we have further reductions in the next biennial budget, which we're talking about, they get hit with a double whammy, because they did not biennialize. So they think they're getting away with a little bit now and saving a little money, but in the long scheme of things, it's worse for them. And we'll have that report that shows that biennialization. And if you look at the entire $65 million, roughly, that we have reduction in the state government, and I think that we initially see that about $45 million of that will be able to be biennialized, but the rest of it will not be. So when you go back and do the budget reduction subsequent in the next biennial budget, you multiply that by two. That $20 million is still there, so they're already $40 million more they'll have to reduce their budget.
Questions on Senator Meyer's motion at Section 060 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 060 has been adopted. Section 063, Governor's Residence. Senator Vebel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 063, Governor's Residence, and they took a budget reduction of $36,652 general fund. And they started with the 8% for the biennium, which was 4% for the one-year period, and they further reduced it to 10%. And as I understand it, for those of you going to the governor's office tonight, you're having chicken. Call for the question.
No questions on Senator Bebas motion, section 063, the chicken bill, do pass. Aye, say aye. All opposed? Section 063 is passed. Been adopted. Section 066, Wyoming Tourism Board. Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, I move 066, Wyoming Tourism Board. Members of the Senate, the JAC agreed to adopt the governor's recommendation to reduce the agency's budget by $1,023,000. Now, the reductions are focused in basically four main areas. Majority of the reductions, $552,000, are in the form of co-op marketing programs. This includes the sign grant program, interpretive signs and so forth, research co-op, winter off-season development, RV and motorcycle rally recruitment, travel media familiarization, these are the FAM tours, attendance to trade shows targeting the meetings and incentive travel markets, partnering at international trade shows, and reduced presence at consumer travel shows. These are all programs that are funded in part with the lodging tax dollars, tourism development and promotion both statewide and locally. However, let me make this point. These reductions do not affect the overall advertising co-op opportunities that are still available in your local communities. Second, the Cowboy Marketing Program will be reduced by $118,000, which will affect the support of the National High School Finals, the rodeo there, the college finals, and the pro rodeo marketing. However, the reductions do not affect the rodeo cowboys themselves and their ability to go out and do their interviews and travel around promoting the state. Number three, further promotional efforts will be reduced by $213,000, and that will include lowering expenditures for postage, printing, and what they call fulfillment mail. These are the responses to consumers' requests for information, and they'll do more of a push towards the digitized versions of responses. And finally, number four, reductions in operations, in-state travel, training, and in-person stakeholder meetings. That'll provide a budget savings of $140,000. And so that's a summary of their cuts, maybe a couple of bright spots. $3 billion in direct purchases are up in around Wyoming by 8%. $128 million in local and tax revenues are also up by about 8% in 2011. I've got a handout in your boxes. It looks like this, and that gives more details on the Department of Tourism, kind of a summary of where they're going, what they've got planned. And with that, Mr. Chairman,
further discussion?
Call for a question or any?
Questions on question Senator Dockstader's motion that Section 066 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 066 been adopted. Section 067, University of Wyoming. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 067, University of Wyoming. Mr. Chairman, the governor's rec is to reduce the agency budget by $11,342,000, which the JAC adopted with modifications. This reduction consists of state aid and grant funding in the School of the Energy Resources. So state aid across the college and a little grant funding in the SER. Then another budget reduction of $272,000 of general funds and $340,000 matching for the School of Energy Resources. So, Mr. Chairman, also in this budget, Mr. Chairman, I had a handout passed out, but that's going to go in the CapCon. So, folks, UW said that this might hurt them substantially. They're going to take some stuff out of the library. They're going to take some stuff out of a lot of other different areas. It may cause a few pink slips up there. But that's the budget request that they said where they're going to get their 8%, and we went along with them.
Discussion on Section 067. The questions on Senator Meyer's motion of Section 067 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 067 been adopted.
Section 070, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission.
I've heard them boys, but what can I say?
Section 070. Senator Bebout, will
you? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 070, Enhanced Oil Recovery. Members of the Senate, when this came to the Joint Appropriations Committee, there were no reductions to this particular program. And as you recall, this is a very, very successful program conducted by the University of Wyoming to deal with tertiary oil recovery. The committee decided that there was one position that was a full-time that they had not been utilizing, and we would reduce that to a part-time to facilitate some of their outreach that they do, and also take their 600 series, which is a grant payment for technical personnel for these outreach, and thought that they could do just as well with a reduced amount of money. And so I think that it was a good idea, and I would call for the question.
Discussion? Questions on Senator Bebout's motion, Section 070, do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 070 has been adopted. Section 072, retirement system. Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, 072, the retirement system. Mr. Chairman, the JAC adopted to move two positions to ETS and $184,000 of other funds to object code 301 for cost recovery of IT. So that's your IT consolidation. Mr. Chairman, there's not a lot of general funds in that. We left the general funds that were in there. That's a voluntary EMT pension plan for $32,755. And call for the question.
Discussion. The question's on Senator Meyer's motion to adopt Section 072. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 072 has been adopted. Section 077, Enterprise Technology Services. Senator Dockstader?
Mr. Chairman, 077, Enterprise Technology Services.
Jeez, I didn't think we'd get through all of this.
Based on the 2012 session, $22 million funding was moved from ANI to ETS, $38 million over to the Internal Services Fund. And then the 122 full-time and two AWAC positions from the Office of Chief Information Officer, those were transferred over to create this newly created Department of Enterprise Services. The committee also adopted the governor's recommendation to add $8.7 million in the general fund and $7.1 in addition to the 159 positions in ETS as a result of the consolidation. This includes 155 full-time, one part-time, and three AWACS. And continuing, the JAC transferred $288,000 general fund, three IT positions from the Department of Education. And the JAC reduced $318,000 roughly as a result of the consolidation, all part of the creation of this new enterprise technology services. Stand for the question. Call for the question.
The question's on Senator Dockstader's motion that Section 077 do pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Section 077 has been adopted. Section 080, Department of Corrections. Ooh. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report with respect to the action taken today in the Committee of the Whole on Budget Bill Senate File 1.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read today's action of the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. President, with respect to Budget Bill Senate File 1, the Committee of the Whole took action as follows. Section 1 adopted. Section 2. The following sections under Section 2 were adopted. 001, 002, 003, 004, 005, 006, 007, 008, 009, 010, 011, 014, 015, 020,
021, 024, 027, 029, 032, 037, 039, 040, 041, 042, 044, 045, 048A, 048B, 049, 051, 053, 055, 057, 060, 063, 066, 067, 070, 072, and 077, Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move for the adoption of the committee the whole report on the action taken on the budget bill.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1B, further committee of the whole action will be continued until the next legislative day. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand at ease, let's sound a gavel about 5 minutes, give the staff a break. We will go back into committee of the whole to consider bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate stand at ease to the sound of the gavel. So then when I come back, I guess I get back in the chair and then...
So I'll come back to order. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Senator Coe.
Now, this is the fun part, Adam. This was the fun part.
The committee of the whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration. Senate file 109. The reading clerk, please read the bill.
Senate file 109, Highway and Road Funding Severance Taxes, sponsored by Senator Cooper, and Act Relating to Highways. It was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28. Senators Case, Peterson, Emmerich, Von Fledren, Senator Peterson, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins. No, Senators Bebout and Dockstader. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 109, and for a further explanation on this good Senate file, I would defer to Senator Cooper.
Senator Cooper, Senator from many counties.
Mr. Chairman, I feel like I'm about to stand up here and have to run this gauntlet. And truck is starting, Charlie says. Mr. Chairman, I bring you Senate File 109, which is the Highway and Road Funding Bill that has a partial diversion of the severance tax revenue stream in it. Before I get started, though, I would like to point out, as I move through the explanation of this bill, and by the way, Mr. Chairman, I realize there is a couple amendments, and there is a standing committee amendment that I'll, at appropriate time, ask to have it read in, and then I'll move that amendment as we move. But you'll have a packet on your desk that looks like this. It has this colored, nice colored little drawing on it, and it says Senate File 109 on it. As I move through this explanation, I'll refer to some of the graphs and charts and so on that are in this packet. So if you'd just keep that in mind on your desk as I move along here. But, Mr. Chairman, as many of you well know from maybe quite a few emails that you've received in the last week or two about the some particular bills or some legislation that has to do with increasing the fuel tax in the state. And, you know, a lot of these people that you've been getting emails from, of course, are our constituents or are, of course, very unhappy about a slam dunk of the 10-cent tax. And you can't hardly blame them, Mr. Chairman, because when you look at this chart here, which is the YDOT revenue current biennium for October 10th through September 12th, 2012, you notice that the budget for the Transportation Commission of YDOT is about $1.147 billion. Now, how many other agencies within this government in this state can you think about that has that kind of a budget? Not many. A couple, maybe. That's a huge budget. Just wanted to point it out to begin with. Senate File 109 provides an alternative way to fund highways, although this bill does not address the fuel tax option because it would not be germane to this bill. But I would tell you that it would fit like a hand in glove
with a phased-in approach. And as you can see from the spreadsheet that I've handed out, also there is a kind of a little bit of a detail on how some possibilities could work on some different situations with between the fuel tax and the severance tax. But it's this spreadsheet right here. It's the second one in your pile there. It has a little bit of some red numbers going across there, you can see. And I'll just tell you right now, and before I go further on this thing, is that this part here at the bottom, you see where it says Senate File 109, is what this bill, Senate File 109, is all about. And as we move through this, I'll do a little bit of an explanation on that graph. So just keep that in mind. What Senate File 109 does is when I move the Standing Committee Amendment a little later, it incorporates into this bill and allows a partial severance tax diversion over a four-year period. In the fifth year, that diversion goes back completely to the PMTF, and I'll get into that a little further. This diversion of severance tax, of course, has been done in the past. Matter of fact, it was done as late as 2009 for a 2010 distribution. It actually went into, I believe, the raw account, if I remember right, but eventually that money was appropriated to the local government distribution and funding. So we've done this before. This diversion is not something new. This body has done that before, this legislature. Mr. Chairman, I would now like to have the Standing Committee Amendment read in, number one, and then I'll move that and we'll go from there.
Ready, clerk, read in the Standing Committee Amendment.
Senate File 109, Standing Committee Amendment number one, page one, line seven.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 109. Mr. Chairman, now, the reason I'd like to have this read in now, basically, the bill now is, this amendment is basically what the bill is all about now. So I'll go through this and explain how this works. As I said, as the bill stands now, it actually takes about 50% of the diversion of this 1% that normally goes into PMTF from the severance tax and then moves it down into a distribution system as we would do with fuel tax. However, this amendment modifies that and does some different things. If you look on page 2, lines 2 and 3 of the amendment, first of all, it deletes out the language for the 50% diversion because we're modifying that and changes that. Then on page 2, line 4, it inserts how the funds will be distributed to the highways and roads per the current fuel tax formulas as described in the statutes. And this is shown, if you now go to this other drawing, it should be the third one in your packet there, you will see how, it's this one here, you'll see how it has at the top, it says distribution of severance tax current laws, and then it has severance tax blocked right at the top. That shows you currently how the severance tax are distributed, at least in this part of the severance tax, I should say. And then if you look down here, you'll see how eventually a portion of it, two-thirds of 1.5% of it, is statutory. And that moves on down as the PMTF. And you can see where I've drawn another arrow there, my own little drawing there, where it goes down and it says fuel tax distribution, and then it lists a couple of Wyoming statutes in title or chapter 39. And that's what this distribution is all about. So if this bill should come about, that distribution would take place in that manner. Now, if you go to the next sheet that you have in the packet, I guess it's maybe on the back of one of the sheets there, you have this here. It says distribution of revenue by source fuel tax. All this does is show you how those statutes that I have listed at the bottom of the page there, how the distribution takes place. So if you're interested on how all the money gets distributed to your cities, towns, counties, to the state, to the roads, to YDOT and everything, this describes how that takes place. So if we do, basically what I'm trying to tell you here, if we do this diversion of severance tax diversion, it will be distributed according to that chart as you see there. Mr. Chairman, in sections at the bottom of page 1 and then all the way moving up to page 2, you will see a section 3 little I all the way up to 6 little I on page 2. And what that does, that actually describes to you, going back to this little spreadsheet again, that describes to you how this distribution of these monies work. If you look in the first year, fiscal year 2014, it'll say 40.25%, 30.6, and so on, 20.51, and so on, out to 4 years. Then the fifth year, you see that goes to zero. And all that little section of the amendment do is just describe that distribution there. So, Mr. Chairman, then the only other part of this amendment to deal with is on page 2, the last deletions, and all that is doing is deleting the old language out of the 50% language that was in the original concept on this bill. See, Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned earlier, this amendment in Senate File 109 provides the future possibility, I guess, of running a phased-in 10-cent fuel tax over a 5-year period. And if you look at this, I just want to mention this. I don't want to talk about another bill I know with this, but I do have to mention to it. If you look at the top two lines on this spreadsheet again, you will see what you, if you wanted to do a phased-in fuel tax in conjunction with this bill, this is the way it would operate. And I won't say a whole lot more about that because I don't want to get in trouble here. But anyway, that's the way it would work. As the severance tax phased out, the fuel tax would pick up and it would kind of cross over so that the severance tax would all dump back into the permanent mineral trust fund again. That's about all I want to say about that, or all I should, I guess. Mr. Chairman, this is a short-term diversion of this 1% severance tax money. This is not a long-term thing. It only lasts for 4 years, and then it all goes back and dumps right back into the PMTF again. But this is an investment. It's an investment in future generations. We always talk about the PMTF as being a safeguard for future generations so that they will be able to go through these dips and ups and downs that we have in the economy over the years. But what we're doing here, we're also using this funding for future generations to save future roads for those generations. And so it's not like we're not we're doing something reckless here. We're actually trying to provide funding for our roads to save them so that our future generations can use them. Mr. Chairman, I would point out that this amendment does indeed invest these dollars to the maintenance and preservation of our highways, like I mentioned. We spend all but a few dollars of the earnings that we get from the PMTF as it stands right now. All those earnings we spend all but a few on many, many projects for future generations. Of course, going to the general fund and then the general fund funding many, many projects. I just name just a few here. Just think about the Wyoming Water Development Fund. Where do we get all that money? Wildlife Trust Fund, the Hathaway Scholarship Program, the $659 million since 2005 we've put into the highways. As you can see on the last page of this packet that I handed out, $659 million we've taken out of the general fund to fund highways since 2005. Where do you think a lot of that money came from? Probably came from the, not all of it, but some of those came from the earnings that we get off of the PMTF that goes back into the general fund. We do local library endowment. We have a huge local library. And the list goes on, and you could go with several, but I won't dwell any more on that. The amendment does not rob from future generations, but rather it is investing in their future. I believe that our future generations wouldn't expect any more of us than to be able to fund these highways and to preserve them for that generation that's coming up before us. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I think I've pretty well exhausted all my possibilities here. Thank you.
Question on the amendment being called for. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The standing committee amendment has been adopted. We have a second
Standing Committee Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 109, Standing Committee Amendment Number 2, page 1, line 7.
Yes, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move second reading, Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 109. And, Mr. Chairman, the purpose of this amendment, it comes from your Senate Appropriations Committee on the re-referral, is that we wanted to ensure that in no way, if this distribution was to take place, it would exceed the 23 cents a gallon that you would have with the 13 cents per gallon tax that we have already now for gasoline and diesel license, and then the 10 cents that's proposed in this amendment. So we want to be sure that we never exceeded the 23 cents a gallon. I would ask the Senate to adopt it.
Is there any discussion? The questions on Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 2. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay? That amendment's been adopted. Back on the bill. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the bill, folks, this is sort of a little piece of what we went through in the late 90s for de-earmarking and trying to allocate our resources in a fair and equitable way. And, in fact, if you look at the spreadsheet that was handed out to you and you look at the spreadsheet for what we describe as the under-the-cap dollars, $155 million, you see that we earmarked monies for cities, towns, and counties, for water 1, 2, and 3, for highways at 4.33%, cities, towns, and counties, CAPCON, state aid to county roads, and the general fund. Folks, when you begin to look at and that's just for the severance taxes, and you have a like allocation for some of the other mineral revenues. But what we discovered back in the late 90s is that, I mean, in theory, you could take all your revenues and earmark them to each group so that if you're the Wildlife Trust Fund, if you're cities, towns, and counties, each one of you would have an earmarked revenue. And at the end of the day, you'd have no revenue left to run your operations. And as we began and we did the analysis during that time, we did a prioritization and made sure that our major accounts, including the highway, received some earmarking. Then the balance goes into the general fund budget reserve account from which we appropriate. And as was described to you, when we have high surpluses, we send that surplus out to cities, towns, counties, highways, and others. But always we have to make sure that we're engaged in our fundamental important services. Now, with this 1% statutory reserve during the 80s, we pulled it out of the statutory diversion to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and we put it into the general fund budget reserve account, and we used it to operate state government. And much of it went to, at that time, some of it ended up going because we were taking general fund out to pay for schools. Probably the first dollars out were paying for your K-12. Then one of the next obligations we had was to operate our health department and the Medicaid program, and some of it would have gone into the Medicaid program. And one of the obligations was to run corrections. And as you've learned by now, that about 60 to 70% of our budget, the budget reserve account, and the general fund go to corrections, higher education, and the Department of Health. Now, YDOT is the largest employer in the state, single employer. They have, as you've seen, a pretty significant revenue source of over $1 billion a year that they use to build highways. And they need to share like everybody else. And they share not only in the budget cuts, and they get to share in the revenue when revenue is tight. And then when we have lots of revenue, they share in the surpluses. And actually, they've shared disproportionately in the surpluses. And as you all know, that the monies that they put out help pay for contractors, and they help pay the roads and highways. But these are funds that when they go out, they go in your highways, and they won't be here 20 years and 30 years from now. But you can starve yourself into a situation where you have to raise taxes if you give all your money and earmark it to various constituencies. We had to de-earmark it to get more money into the general fund. When you have constituents that say, look, I can't stand and I'm not prepared to pay for a gas tax, well, are you prepared to pay a gas tax of double this amount in 5-10 years? Are you prepared for an income tax if we don't plan right? We live in an environment where most of our revenues come from minerals. And it's incumbent on us to plan for the short term, the midterm, and the long term. And we have a good plan aside. We've taken the statutory 1% diversion, we put it into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund to have rewards generations from now, long after the life expectancy of the highways that you're building right now, when they're gone or they're doing resurfacing or reconstructions, we'll still be receiving the rewards of the income off of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. And we're not having de-earmarked it so that it's one of the first lifelines that we bring back into our general fund. And we bring it back, you look then at the priorities. It might be that Medicaid's the highest priority. It may be K-12 schools. But to decide now, before we reach that point, that highways is the highest priority, it may or may not. When your time comes, you're going to be trying to decide between priorities such as your Medicaid program, your K-12 funding, your corrections, whether you're going to kick people from the prisons out because you don't have enough services to provide for them. Those are the important needs that we have to plan in the future for. And by earmarking it, you're saying, we're going to determine right now, years in advance, that those services are more important than highways. And I submit to you they're not. I urge that you vote no on the bill.
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I too would urge the Senate to vote no on Senate File 109. And I'll just bring it to present, where we talked about our goldenrod here this morning when we got into our budget discussion on the supplemental budget. And if you look at that, it shows a budget reserve account revenue of $1.2 billion. Okay, of that, two-thirds are federal mineral royalties that we put a cap on and we de-earmarked, and one-third is severance that we put a cap on and de-earmarked. I would submit to you that if we hadn't made that tough decision in the late 90s, and it was a tough decision, a lot of us were there, and it was not an easy decision, but as we look forward, for all the reasons that you heard from the majority floor leader, we would not have that now. The money would have gone out, and you could have argued, sure, it went to other resources and other things, but it would have been earmarked, and we wouldn't have the funds there today to do what we do. So for that reason, along with building for the future with our permanent trust fund, I would urge the body to vote no. And our colleague from Park County brought up the other day about Wyoming is still the best-run state in the country. And if you remember the litany of things that he went through when he talked about that, one of them was our ability to save and look to the future, not the next half of this biennium, not the next biennium itself, but down the road. And this, again, is taking away that diversion to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. For those two reasons, I'm going to vote no on Senate File 109, along with the others that were brought up by the majority floor leader.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, rising also on and against the bill. And, Mr. Chairman, we've got a mess in our highway financing. And I want to go in a little into the history and explain how we get to the mess and why this bill, Mr. Chairman, is not a good solution to that problem. Mr. Chairman, when I first came in down here, we had a thing called a ton-mile tax. And it was, the thought behind it was that the roads, highways ought to be funded in part, good part, on a user fee basis. And fuel tax was important, Mr. Chairman, because everybody that uses the highways pays that. But the larger trucks that use the highways cause a good deal more expense than the ordinary passenger car. You have to build a sturdier highway, Mr. Chairman. You have a good deal more damage to the highway. Anybody that has driven I-80 knows what I'm talking about with what goes on. And the trouble, Mr. Chairman, was that the ton-mile tax was a mess. There was evasion problems. It was expensive to administer. It was a very poor tax. And what we did, I forget whether it was 1989, 1990, sometime in that time frame, we repealed that tax. And, well, we said, you know, the philosophy behind the system was correct, but the way to collect the large truck share was from the registration fee. And we were also told if we repealed that tax, we'd bring quite a bit more business with large trucks in on I-80 and benefit the communities, which it has. And the trouble is, Mr. Chairman, when we did that, nobody understood the implications of the federal allocation system on terms of what they did, the registration fees. We got registration fees from the local truckers about what we thought we were going to, but the large interstate trucks travel so many more miles that our allocation was much smaller than it should have been when we tried to put it on registration, because the feds allocated it on a per mile basis, so we don't get as much. And we've had a problem with our highway financing ever since. And, Mr. Chairman, we have temporized by using general funds and things that would otherwise go to the general fund, which worked when we were high, wide, and handsome. But it doesn't work now. And, Mr. Chairman, the difficulty with this bill is it seeks to continue that temporizing and continue it at a time when we're looking at a prolonged period when, for the reasons you all have heard discussed before, we think our revenues are going to be relatively flat and are not going to grow as fast as our expenses. And we've been trying to build up our reserves, both the permanent reserves and the permanent mineral trust fund, and our legislative reserves, because we're in for a prolonged period where we're going to have trouble funding our state government. And I don't think we can afford the old problem of temporizing. I think we need to have a very different solution to our problems. I don't want to get into another bill, Mr. Chairman. I don't agree with the bill that's coming over. But that's a separate issue for a separate day. Mr. Chairman, I want to add, I don't want to echo the things that have already been said, but I want to add another thought to you. One of the things that's coming at us is the federal health care reform. And, Mr. Chairman, that thing is an awful mess. And it's going to do quite a bit of harm to our constituents. We think individual insurance rates are going to raise somewhere between 40 and 100%. And for some of the population, it'll be taken care of with the subsidies through the exchanges if the feds can afford those. And there's quite a number of other disruptions that are going to happen. I think our providers, especially our hospitals, are going to be hit hard, Mr. Chairman. I think in maybe a year, more likely in the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to have to spend some money picking up the pieces from that national reform, picking up the pieces when it increases our uninsurance rate, picking up the pieces when the feds try to balance their books by squeezing the providers. And we're going to need all the revenue we can get at. And I really, I worry a bit about putting this diversion into the permanent mineral trust fund, but at least we'll get revenue from there that we can use. I really think it would be a mistake for us to divert that revenue that we're going to need predictably in the near future to a stopgap on the mess we've got in our highway financing.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honored for this good bill. And I know
good body of senators, we're somewhat in the minority here with this perception of this idea. But it goes back to my basic beliefs, my core beliefs of the role of government. And I'll share a quick little story with you. I shared it with my committee of why I believe so strongly in this. And it basically refers to the role of government. And the story's fairly quick, and I'll be brief. Many of you know that I am involved with some baseball back home, and that's how I spend my summers. Somebody gave me the bright idea, Mr. Chairman, of going to the local rec district and asking them for some participation. Of course, you know how rec districts are formed and the purpose of rec districts. I hadn't thought of that. I was so involved in the program, and so every dollar that was being raised was by my own little hands of fundraising and barbecues and cooking the ribs and signage on the fence and begging, borrowing, and stealing every dollar I could get. It was about $20,000 to run two programs for a summer of baseball. So I went to the rec district board and asked them for some participation. Two rec district boards. Talked and sold them on the idea, and of course they agreed and gave me a portion of some money. And I was very grateful for that participation. It relieved. Thank you. That will help. In front of the cameras? Anyway, it is a sad story, too, so keep a hold of that $5. I might ask you for that. Basically, after I requested the money, and they were very generous in agreeing with us that we needed this participation, this money, and support, I went back to my seat in the meeting and started to take some notes. And then the next item on their agenda was what to do with some of their surplus revenue. And they were talking about purchasing another certified certificate of deposit at a local bank. And I just about dropped the pencil that was in my hand. I looked up and I thought, you know, I got $1,500 from them. And they're looking at buying another $5,000 bond, a certificate of deposit. The story gets better. You know, the reason I was so frustrated is because I just spent about $2,000 on my own personal credit card trying to run this program. So I started thinking, you know, it was offensive to me to know that that I was out there working my tail off, putting my own money into it, and then the very taxing district that was meant for recreation of youth was buying certificates of deposit at a local bank and with our tax dollars. And I thought, this is kind of backwards. And so it ties back into what we're talking about here. And I can't in good conscience go back to my electors and say, you know, we are doing a good thing. And don't get me wrong, Mr. Chairman, we are doing a good thing. We got the AAA rating to prove it. And I agree with putting some money away into this rainy day account. I agree totally with that. And I agree totally, after reading the Tax Reform 2000, that we need to strengthen our taxing participation from our citizens in our state. We are too dependent on our minerals and resources for revenue. We know that. We all agree with that. So all those things aside, Mr. Chairman, I agree with all these things. But I can't go back to my constituents and say, basically, allow us to save, and we're going to tax you. That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. And I can't, in good conscience, go back and say, we didn't try. And so this is a compromise. That's all it is. I mentioned it in the other committee meeting. This is somewhat like the Mary Poppins song of a little bit of a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. It's a bitter pill to swallow. What we're talking about, what we have to do, I realize we have to do it. But this is just a little spoonful of sugar to help our citizens get to that point. And just another point, Mr. Chairman, coming from a small business myself, this is going to hurt our businesses around the state. It really is. What we're talking about, what we have to do, we know that. This is where our revenue is generated from, not just from minerals and resources, but from the sales tax generated from some of these businesses that depend on trucking and fuel purchases. And so this is, again, a compromise, realizing the importance of those businesses and those sales tax collections and the economic benefit that they provide our state in going out every day and climbing into their vehicle. And so this would allow them to adjust 2 years or a year at a time. Many of you in the room will refer to it probably as taking the Band-Aid off a little bit at a time, and why not just rip it off? might be very well true, Mr. Chairman, but it's not that easy in a business in a very tight budget, in a very tight economy, in a competitive market. You can't just simply pass those costs on to your customers. You can't do it without losing the bid, without losing the business, without losing the additional revenue and the income. These are real things that business people consider every day, and having to meet those fixed costs in their businesses, and this is what we're talking about here with these additional costs that will hit these businesses. So on and for this bill, Mr. Chairman, all it is a compromise. We bring it in the spirit of compromise, and allowing us to go back, and I can explain until I'm blue in the face with all the figures and facts and agreeing with everybody here as we join hands and jump off this painful cliff together, and I will be one of those. But not without looking at some options, not without looking at some an earmarking, Mr. Chairman, is a terrible, terrible word. I've come, you know, the longer I sit in this chair, Mr. Chairman, and gain some experience that the others in this body probably have 10 times the amount or more than I do, but earmarking is basically, I've come to the understanding that the term earmarking is basically an idea of the other person or other group. If it was my idea, you know, well, that's not earmarking. That's something completely different. This is necessary. These are necessary funds. This is a necessary appropriation. And so with that idea, Mr. Chairman, on and for this particular bill, it's a compromise. And I'd urge the body to take a serious look at it, to consider it. As we talk about the amounts that we're discussing here, as it relates to that particular fund that we would be drawing from, and how it's ramping down over 5 years, it's really not that much. It's really not that much. And it's being able to go back to our constituents and say, we're willing to tap into some of those savings that we feel strongly about, that we feel like we desperately need, because we know that hard times are coming. But we're willing to dip into those savings and help you in bringing this adjustment slowly over the next 5 years. The sunset's built in. It's a good bill, and I'd ask for your support.
Senator Anderson, 28, where are you?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I also rise to on and for the bill. It is a good compromise. I like the fact that it sunsets the diversion. As we've heard earlier, nobody wants to divert those funds. This sunsets it over 5 years. It doesn't take that much money out of that diversion. That diversion goes into a permanent mineral trust fund. We heard one speaker talk about we're going to need those funds here in the future. You can't touch those funds. They're non-violent. They can't be touched. So that's a bad place to put them if you're going to need them in the future. But right now, our industry people and our people that are making this money need this money put into highways. We have unsafe conditions on our highways. It's one of the highest places our industries have accidents that are causing us to have the high accident rate in this state. And if we could fix some of those roads around those production areas, like this bill would help the state to do, then we could lower our accident rate in industry also. To quote a famous senator, this bill is better than you think. And if we don't do it now, then when? To quote another senator, then when will we do it? And the problem with doing this in the future is this is going to get a lot more expensive in the future. And now we can get a lot of this done. This is a good compromise, and I urge everyone to vote for it. Thank you.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Temporizing is a good word. What this bill does is takes about $150 million, puts it on the roads 4 years, and that's it. You know, we allocated, as that last sheet that was handed out shows you, we've allocated that $200 million in a year, counting about $19 million for airports. So this bill is not going to get us where we need to go. It's also temporary. The other thought is that the fiscal note on this bill doesn't show you the loss in investment revenue. So what we're really doing is if for every dollar you take out of the permanent mineral trust fund to put onto the roads, $5 to $8, it's costing you in more. So $150 million you're losing, and I shouldn't do math in public, but you're losing $160, $170 million is what that's really costing you to put $150 million on the roads. That isn't worth it. What we're doing is we're wearing the roads out today, and we're asking the future. And I'm not talking 10 or 8, 12 years from now, but our future 30 and 40 years from now to pay for what we're doing today. The other big part of this bill that doesn't jive with what we're trying to do is all the trucks, out-of-state, non-resident vehicles that use our highways. We're giving them a pass again. Once again, we're not asking them to put it in. We're taking our own funds and paying to repair our roads. That doesn't seem fair either. I would tell you that the way it's structured, yes, it redistributes the funds according to that one section 39, title of the book, 3917-111C. But what it doesn't do is increase the money to off-road, boats, snowmobiles, any of that. It says it will distribute it in the same manner, but you notice it keeps the same formula, $16 or the $22 that's in statute that you do the number of registrations by, and the UW research came out with that. It should equal X amount of gallons times the figure that's in the title. It's about $16 in one area, and it's $20-some dollars in another. It doesn't increase that. So in reality, the state parks for their trail work, for their boat ramps, and snowmobile grooming, trail grooming, doesn't get a penny more out of this deal. It's not a great bill. I hope we will defeat it.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I've served the last 5.5 years on the Transportation Committee, and I think I've probably seen every chart and every proposal that's been crafted on behalf of the highways. And I want to commend my friend from the Western Front because, you know, at least he has recognized, as have I, that it's time we do something, you know, for the long-term benefit of our highway system. Like my good chairman, I don't believe this is the answer. I appreciate the impassioned plea from, you know, from the Yellowtail District, but it's, to put it another way, to help explain what the good senator was saying, this is money that's not going to be in the corpus. And so not only does it cost us $160 million to put $150 million into our highways, that's $10 to $12 million in dividends and interest that you're not going to be generating every single year after that, because that's money that's not going into the corpus. I'm not going to take that much further because I agree with my friend. I don't do math in public. But for every little bit that you're not putting in the corpus, that's not putting it in the corpus from now on. We have the conversation all the time about whether we should save money into that mineral trust fund and some of our other permanent funds or whether we should spend it. And I have to tell my constituents all the time this same thing, which is if you don't put that away, that's dividends and interest that your kids and their kids are not going to have year after year after year to fund all those things that our chairman of appropriations has been telling us about. So while I applaud the effort to fund the highways, I just don't think this is the way to go, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this has been a good debate, but one of the nice things about sitting next to Majority Floor Leader is that I get to see the little X's on there. And I want you guys to open your mind, because I don't think anybody signed in blood or swore on the souls of your grandchildren. So, Mr. Chairman, and I do agree with some of these folks that they shouldn't do math in public. I use my calculator. Because if you take $150 million times 5%, that's $7.5 million. You don't even get to that until you get to the fifth year as far as that last that because of that loss, because you're only taking off 57 the first and it stair steps down. So you don't even get the full impact of this. Now let's talk about earmarking. Folks, this money is earmarked right now, and everybody knows it. It's earmarked into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. This is de-earmarking. This is taking some of the money that is earmarked into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund and giving it back to the taxpayers of this state. That's what it's doing. And I don't know how many times
I've been asked, well, look, Wyoming's a rich state. How come some of that money isn't coming back to us? And I tell them the same things that my good senator from Casper said, is that, you know, we've got a plan for the future, and we do. But what this is that 5 years from now, we're going to lose $7.5 million and on forward. So this is going to take 20 years or so before we even get to the point where we come back to the amount of money that we spent. And so 20 years from now, we're going to be losing $7.5 million. We broke even. That's where we're at. What are we going to be 20 years from now? I couldn't have told you 20 years when I first got in this body where we're going to be. But I knew we had to save more. And I knew when the good senator from KC brought that bill forward to put this in and earmark that into the permanent trust fund, it was the right thing to do. But how much do we have to save? And how much have we saved this year? We put $450 million into our LSRA for education, the PLF. There's an overflow on that. It started at 70. We've chipped that down. It's probably around 50 million that's going to go into the corpus of the Common School Land Fund. That's 50 million going into the corpus. That almost breaks us even on the first year of this. So, folks, we've saved a lot of money over the last few years. I remember a couple years ago it was 4x10, 4 billion by 2010. We've made that in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. We're over that. We've got a $450 million LSRA. We've got $1.64 billion in our LSRA. There's nobody that can say that we haven't done a yeoman's job of saving money. But once in a while, you've got to boil the frog. And that's what this bill does, is that we've put the frog on the stove, and this is the taxes that we're talking about. Is that people aren't going to see 2 cents. They can't feel it. And I think it's time for us to give a little bit of tax relief. We need to work on our roads. This isn't the solution for everything. We know that. But folks, this is a good compromise. It's a well thought out compromise. We've done our job saving. Now let's do our job putting some money back in the taxpayers' pockets.
Senator Anderson, 02.
That's what we're doing.
Chairman, I hadn't originally planned to speak, but having had a bit of a hand in this whole debate, I have opted to stand up and talk just for a brief moment. First of all, I don't support this bill, but a little background in regard to the idea of process. You know, having walked in these shoes and having sat in that seat, I understand the significance of process, and I want to say I admire the person that there is now. Last year, and if you look at another handout, there's a list in regard to history of legislation, and it's done in red. 2008, failed. 2009, failed, failed, failed. 2010, failed. 2011, failed. 2012, failed, failed, failed. And so that was kind of what came to my mind is made a decision in regard to what process in order to bring this about. Well, out of that, with conversation with others, and I have to tell you how thankful I am for two former chairmen, one sitting there and another sitting here, willing to take this risk of a combined interim of which became known as the super committee. That's what brings me to a process. You know, I could support the bill that we're talking about now, and I would have met my objective. My objective was is to secure highway funding. The bill before you would secure highway funding in a fashion. But the other bill in question also secures highway funding, but the idea that this went through a vetting process with a joint committee before the public with absolute vetting all the way across the state and discussion as to how should we go about this highway funding. And so this is not an effort that was, this is not a product of that effort. I think in terms of, we talk constantly in regard to engaging the public. Does this bill have the coalition and the background and the support, all the conversation and the exercise of looking under every rock? Do you think perhaps this bill might have been discussed during that vetting process? I think probably it was. I don't think this rock was left unturned. So I won't go on and on. It's late in the day. I would just simply say this one does not meet the test of the public process, I think, that it might well should. And so with that, I would urge your defeat of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, when the good senator from Glen Rock was that list, and he just kept saying fail, I was getting kind of resentful of the idea that he was sitting there reading my report card on the floor of the Senate. There's no business doing that. Mr. Chairman, let's look 4 years from now. If we pass this bill now, do you think when this thing sunsets, there is not going to be a bill up to either extend the sunset or remove the sunset entirely? And how easy do you think it's going to be to keep that sunset in place? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Not only is that sunset either going to be moved back or removed entirely, but between now and then, that other 0.5% that's statutorily going to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, is now that's going to start becoming a target for another good cause. This is a good cause, but there is no shortage of good causes that we see over our 40 days down here. And you can rationalize any of it. Trust me, this is a Pandora's box that we're opening if we go ahead and move this money over to highways now, because the other 0.5% is going to be gone within the next couple of years.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just one final thought with respect to, we talk about $150 million as though it's not that much. We talk about $150 million as what's the impact if it reaches in, if you put it away into your permanent mineral trust fund, and it derives 5% revenue for the rest of its life to our grandchildren on. You talk about $150 million, how do you use it to protect against the normalization of revenue? And I just, to put it in perspective, occasionally go back and look at your CRAG reports. It's a great exercise. And when you see that your biennial severance taxes are 1.8 billion last biennium, they're projected to be 1.7 billion this biennium, that your federal minerals taxes are royalties are 1.8 billion projected to be about 2 billion. Now they're paid a little bit later, so they're, you don't see the impacts till later of loss in valuation. So you're talking about just under 4 billion. 3.7 to 4 billion, and that doesn't include all what minerals or what the industry contributes to sales tax and all the other revenues that you have. When we make these decisions to begin planning to the future, you make the decisions against what it's like to have $4 billion of revenue that, frankly, most of us don't pay taxes. It's paid by out-of-state people who consume Powder River Basin coal, produce deep gas, coal bed methane, and we benefit from that. But our charge is to make long-term decisions so that we don't have to raise enormous taxes later to try to pick up deficits in the order of $4 billion, or even a small percentage of that. Even a small percentage of that, if we fail to plan, would generate an obligation to pay taxes well beyond anything that any of us can afford. And these little decisions add up over time. You think, what's $150 million here, $150 million there? But there's only less than 500,000 of us paying taxes. We simply don't have the capacity to make up large deficits or even small deficits compared to what minerals generates. And we have to make these decisions They're hard, but we're not, as we pointed out, this is a user fee. It's a relatively small user fee compared to what the liability could be if we fail to plan. I'd urge you to vote no on the bill.
Further discussion? Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do owe an explanation because I had to go to my good colleague from Lincoln County to say that during the process I'd have to leave the support of the bill because we're changing it so much. Members of the Senate, if our highways are as bad as they say they are, we're told that year after year, I think we need to step up and designate some serious solid funding, find the amount we can all agree upon without sunsetting it and without custom designing it to accommodate any possible future measures that may or may not be passed.
Further discussion? Yes, Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, I've only been in the Senate about 2 years, so I'm really a newcomer. I want to tell you that I have great, great, great respect for the people that have been here and have put the money into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. I can see the wisdom of that. And I'll defer to their wisdom because they've been here so long and we've seen the results of what's happened. But I sat with the head of the Department of Transportation at a dinner and I said, is it really as bad as you say? And he said, yes. He said, Paul, if we don't start fixing these roads now, we will never catch up. Now, is he a prevaricator? Is he just pulling my leg? I said, are you sure about that? He says, listen, I can sit back in my job and not do anything and not keep prodding you guys to fix the roads. I make the same kind of money. Or I can be proactive and tell you what I really think. And I'm telling you, if you don't fix them, you'll never catch up. So we have two choices. We'll take the money, put it in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, which is a wise thing. But what I'm asking all the senators here, Mr. Chairman, is do you have the courage to raise that gas tax up 10 cents and tax those people in order to keep up with the roads? Or do we just say, they're just pulling our leg, we'll just kick it down the can, kick the can down the road, not do anything, and 5 years from now, 10 years from now, these roads are going to cost us at least five times more to fix. So that's the question. Do we have the courage to tax the people now and get the roads fixed? Or are we going to find some compromise, some excuse not to do that, and the roads go to you know where? So thank you.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Real briefly, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the body for the good debate. And I think some good thoughts and good arguments on both sides. And I have great respect for this body, at least this part of the building. And I think we make good decisions here. And I can say that with some pride. And I can say that with all honesty. And I can go back to my constituents and say, you know, no matter what side you were on this issue, the best decision was made. We all care about the future of our state and our highways and the funding of those highways and also our businesses back home. And so I thank the process and thank leadership as well. You know, any bill, they could have very easily had buried this bill and not let it see the light of day. And I appreciate their efforts and trust in the process in allowing this bill to come forward and vetting it out. It speaks a lot about the process, Mr. Chairman, and I'd just like to thank the body for the debate. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, since I was the bringer of this bill and this amendment, I guess I'd have a few things. You know, I've almost been brought to tears today for this beating I've been taking here. But but I would, as the good senator from the Bighorn has said, you know, I appreciate the leadership giving me the opportunity to present this bill and, you know, and run it up the flagpole, as they say, and just see what happens. And I mean, that speaks a lot, you folks, for just the way this process works, for us to be able to do things like that. I would say, as far as earmarking goes, you know, kind of earmarking, sometimes it appears that it's in the eyes of the beholder, you know. I mean, if it's going to me, it's not an earmark, but if it's going to you, it's an earmark. So anyway, that's just my interpretation of it, for what it's worth. And this is a temporary diversion of these funds, as I've mentioned before. It's a four-year diversion, and it goes back to the way it was doing before. And I know it was brought up the fact that, yeah, if it sunsets and then we could increase change the sunset and everything. But this actually isn't written in the statute. That this would be written in this statute that in 2017 this goes away, period. Of course, somebody could try to probably come and write an amendment to that. And as far as generational things go, you know, if you put that money into those roads today, it will go out, probably last on those roads maybe 20 or 25 years. So we're actually really talking about a generation. And it was talked about the ton mile. Ton mile was a great thing. We made a lot of money off of that, as it was spoke about before. I wish we could go back to the ton mile system here in this state. But it's not going to happen, and mainly because of a lot of things the federal government's done in the meantime. But, you know, we do save, as it was mentioned before. We have saved. I just was going down through a list of things on some of the budgetary stuff. You know, I was looking at all these coffee cans we have and all different things. And this counts education, of course, and all the other things we do, which we can't spend, of course. I think I came up with $2 billion, and I never even got to the end of the list of all the coffee cans. And I'm not suggesting that we spend them for this. I'm just saying that we've done a very good job of saving money and trying to do the best we can. And I'm proud of this body for doing that. By the way, the investment cost for this over the four-year period would be, I had them run it up at the budget office, for the Craig estimated investment amount, it would be around $13 million, a little north of $13 million over the five-year period. That's based on, of course, on the Craig estimated amount. As far as the boats and snowmobiles, ORVs and everything is, that could not be written into this bill. We tried to figure out a way to do it. It was so complicated. It was crazy. So what we figured is if it was going to be phased in another bill that had to do with taxes, then that would have been put into that. You know, we have many bills that was talked about. Maybe this wasn't vetted enough by my good seat partner here through the system of interim committee and everything. But we have a lot of bills that come to this floor are never vetted through the interim committees. They're just brought before this. And I know this is an important bill. Maybe that was true, but we tried all kinds of. In that committee, I'm on that committee also, that the Transportation Committee, and we tried half a dozen different ways, it appears, to try to get this funding done, and we just couldn't get anybody to buy off on them. So anyway, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll end my speech-making and talking here now, but I would like to ask for the call for the A's and the no's on this vote. Let me
take it. A's and A's being called for. Senator Case.
This is Committee of the Whole. You can't call for the A's and A's.
Okay. That's right. Are you ready for the question? The question's on Senator Peterson's motion that Senate File 109 pass Committee of the Whole. All in favor of Senate File 109, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Chairs in doubt. Division being called for. All in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Senate File 109 has failed Committee of the Whole. Pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5, having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
Senate File 109, having failed a roll call vote pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5A, is deemed indefinitely postponed.
Bless you, Majority Floor Leader. Bless you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Don't even have a smart aleck response. I usually do, but I move that the committee hold rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
The reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. President, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 109 failed to pass committee of the whole and was indefinitely postponed. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move for adoption of the committee of the whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's been adopted. And the report is therefore adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Tuesday, February 5th.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow night upon adjournment in S-15. We're going to take up House Bill 13. Engrossed Livestock Revisions, House Bill 25, Simulcasting of Paramutual Events, House Bill 108, Engrossed Food Freedom Act, House Bill 55, Engrossed Burn Order Violations Restrictions, House Bill 165, Engrossed Movement of Livestock in Emergency Situations.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee, number 2, Appropriations, will be having a joint Appropriations Committee gathering tomorrow evening upon adjournment. I say gathering because we are officially are not in business. There's nothing we can do as far as conducting business. However, we will hear a supplemental proposed budget from Superintendent of Public Instruction. It will be in room 204 on adjournment tomorrow.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet in 10 minutes in room S-14 to consider House Bill 95, Railroad Crossings On-Track Vehicles, House Bill 80, Engrossed Healthcare Provider Retention Program Sunset Date, House Bill 92, Interference with Emergency Calls, House Bill 100, Engrossed Vehicle Registration Fees, Assistive Devices.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, 30 minutes after noon recess, to pick up House Bill 170, Streamlined Sales Tax, Direct Mail, House Bill 188, Investment of Public Funds, Interest-Bearing Deposits, and House Bill 195, Engrossed Rail Tax Exemption.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Senate stands adjourned until 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 5th.